show. Yes, we're here. Finally, back a little bit-ish type thing. I'm sorry for my absence, everyone. I'm sorry we've been messing you around a lot just lately, but we'll get back to normal next week for sure, except it's Thursday for normal, not Friday normal. The big show is back. We are here to discuss the week's big technology news, and what a panel. There's six of them tonight. How good's that? Starting us off, top left, James Hart. How's it going, buddy?
How on earth do you do top left when it's audio only?
Well, you're top left on my Skype call.
Oh, bless you. Hello. Yes, I'm all right, thank you. I'm finally stopping being too warm. And when I'm too warm, I don't sleep properly, I get grumpy, and the whole world looks like a rubbish place. Oh. See, I'm British. We don't like weather. We don't like weather at all. If it's too cold or too hot, we complain. It just has to be nothing, and we're fine.
I was in a railway cutting last week that faced north-south, and it got sun from sort of 8.30 in the morning till 5.30 at night, and I was there all day.
You know, Good heavens.
I have a farmer's tan. Perfect white T-shirt. Next to him, Carl Madden. How you doing, mate?
Hello, sir. Hello, everyone else. Thank you
for your efforts, mate, the last couple of weeks. We wouldn't have got anything out if it hadn't been for you. So, excellent job, bud.
I hear they were an effort on some people. Yeah. Thank you very much, anyway.
Yeah, and if Bill's listening, yeah, you heard me. next to him, Barry Collins from PC Pro Magazine. We haven't had you on in bloody ages, mate.
I know. It's been a long while, hasn't it?
Where have you been? What have you been doing?
I've been editing a PC magazine, largely. That is the entirety of my life. In between that and watching Lewis try and escape relegation to the Sunday League of non-league football.
Now, you've been trying to get a date with Claire from Devizes, haven't you?
Yeah, she's not returning my calls. I don't understand it.
Yeah, no, mate. You try your hardest with these women, and good grief. Next to him, from the Twit Network, wonderful to have you on again, mate. I'm sorry about the last time. It's Ayaz Akhtar.
Hi, it's good to be here. Sorry that didn't work out last time. And Tom Merritt sends his apologies for cancelling on you twice.
Yeah, no, it's okay. He had a flight. He came out with a good reason. I didn't have a very good reason the last time I cocked up you coming on there, mate. I do apologise. I just...
Totally fine.
I flaked out and ran off to the hospital to see my aunt and just completely forgot about letting you know. So I do apologise. And last but by no means least, we've got two other people I've forgotten.
Yeah, oh. I was going to say, it's two of them.
That's two, not one. It's Sarah Gray. How are you doing, girl?
Yeah, I'm okay. Thanks very much, Ewan. Yeah, slowly getting back to normal after spending a month in the Emerald Isle.
I was going to say, are you back in Blighty now?
Yes, I am. Yes. And yes.
That wench reckons you should spank me, Ayaz. She's into spanking a lot at the minute, it would seem.
Really?
Yeah. I'll work. The transcontinental spanking.
Spank.app.
Yeah, I'll get on that right away.
Careful, that'll get blocked.
It could do. It'll get through on Microsoft's Xbox, though.
And you see, Ayaz, you're in the early stages of when Ewan apologises to his guests. He doesn't do that anymore with us.
Well, I can't wait when he stops doing that.
Yeah, I'll I'm going. I have a big one. And last but by no means least, Jeff Gamert.
And... I would ask how you're doing, but I already know. I've been listening to all the introductions. So,
the
hey,
Jeff
everyone,
Gamut
it's
Network.
Awesome to be here.
We got a review, and someone tweeted out that the comic show was a wonderful example of the current editions that are taking place at the Jeff Gamut Network.
I appreciate that you doubled my salary when I took over.
Yes, absolutely. Now, did you do Mounty 38's review last week, Carl?
Yes.
Top listen. Excellent. So that we haven't got any reviews to do then. Oh, well. I thought we'd had a couple to do, but never mind.
We could make some up.
We could, but they wouldn't be very good, unfortunately. We've got a couple for the Mac Show tomorrow, so if you can get those. There's one from the US as well, Carl, if you have to get it. Carl's doing the Mac Show again tomorrow, so excellent job, mate. The Week in Tech, it's been a wonderful, wonderful week. There's a chap in Australia who has been charged for driving his car without a steering wheel. The South Australian man is facing charges after he allegedly caught using vice grips to steer the car instead of a steering wheel. Is there anyone here that doubts that's an offence?
Well, it's Australia.
It is
probably
Australia.
Fine.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
I got that one from Pete, who's underscore Windrider on Twitter, who's not been well this week, but he still found time in the hospital to send that one through. So cheers, mate. Good job.
I mean, that's not really quite a self-driving car, is it? Well, bring your own steering wheel. I mean, it stops it getting nicked when you park it.
You take the steering wheel with you.
Well, at least he wasn't using pliers. He had to keep holding pressure. This is a vice grip, so it was on for him.
Good
so
point.
The danger here is that simply he didn't have a ring around it. That's what he should have thought of, like taking an old bicycle tire, just put it around it, and nobody would have even noticed.
Fitzmac in the chat room saying really joystick.
So was it deliberate, or was it...
have you seen the pictures there?
The steering wheel came off in his hand.
That's what they all say.
Yeah, no, he was checking. I've seen people
do this
before.
The steering wheel came off in my hand.
Yeah, that's a odd job.
To rub salt into the wound, the 38-year-old Northfield man is facing charges, which also include driving whilst disqualified and returning a positive drug test. No kidding. Please. No kidding.
Oh, party foul.
Now then, you guys in the US, you've got real problems because you are short by some 200 fighter pilots.
Yeah, we're running out of pilots, apparently.
Yeah. Now,
they didn't call us. I don't know why.
Well, I used to work with a guy who was a Marine fighter pilot, and he quit because they wouldn't give him his own plane with his name on it.
What was his name?
I can't say. But he quit. He honestly quit because they wouldn't give him a plane with his own name because of cutbacks.
Don't they drone on about this?
That's the problem. It is the drone. Ah, very good.
How many more of those you got, Carl?
Oh, I got many more.
You just have them lined up on the runway? Jokes.
I'll land another one in a minute.
Back to the 1930s.
They need to bring out another.
Try, but mine would bomb.
They need to bring out another Top Gun film, don't they? That's obviously what it is. Because there was a massive increase of fighter pilots apparently applying after that film for some reason. Perhaps they all wanted to play volleyball on a beach or something.
Wasn't the Top Gun film partly sponsored by the military?
It should have been. If it wasn't,
I know that the Navy had recruiting booths set up outside of theaters so that when you would come out from seeing Top Gun, they'd be right there ready for you.
But clearly people aren't... Maybe they recruited them, but they never made them as far as fighter pilots. So obviously they were all rubbish.
I guess.
Well, if you're someone that thinks that being a fighter pilot is the best idea in the world simply from seeing a movie... then maybe you wouldn't be the best fighter pilot.
Not the right stuff.
Hey, hang on a minute. I want to be a starship captain.
Well,
where's the booth for that?
Don't we all?
Exactly.
But you're forgetting as well, guys, that I mean, I went to see Top Gun when I was in my teens, and I'm 46 now. That was 30 years ago, probably. That's got to be a 25-year-old film.
So you're absolutely right. They need to put another one out.
Don't worry about Top Gun.
1985, wasn't it?
We've got sequels to Independence Day coming out soon. Now, if I've learned anything from Independence Day, if you're a crop duster, so don't worry. When the sequels come out, we'll have a huge rush because people will think they're fighting aliens relatively soon.
And I'm going to sign up me to be a crop duster.
And in a way, they are.
And the title works perfect for a sequel because it's just Top Guns.
Oh.
See, I said I got a few.
That is good. Have you done the elevator pitch on that yet, Carl?
I can't fit in elevators.
No, that's a good point.
He doesn't need elevators.
Top Gun is from 1986, which is 3 years short of being 30 years ago.
Oh, God.
I'm right, see?
Feel old now.
1986
was
30
years ago. The upside to that movie, it did have Kelly McGinnis in it.
She was hot. She was too old for Tom, but she was hot.
Was.
Yeah, all that matters is that she was hot.
Yeah, absolutely. Copyright has reached 3D printing. Stratasys, one of the world's biggest 3D print manufacturers, routinely uses 3D printed objects and displays for its booths and so on. They've been sending out some of their stuff on Creative Commons, non-commercial IP stuff, and people have been using it and using it commercially, and they're thinking about suing. I mean, it's the bleeding edge here, isn't it, for 3D printing. MakerBot have also had a birdhouse printing contest. And all of those designs are going to be freely available on their website.
What are they suing them for? Kinder Egg toys. Have you ever seen the output of a 3D printer? It is just horrible. The only thing you could see them for is making an absolute farce of whatever your product was in the first place.
I've got to disagree, because I've seen the outputs of 3D printing at Marussia, and they build their engine out of 3D printed parts.
Yes, before they send them out to me. MakerBots and the sort of plastic, rigid plastic nonsense that falls out of them. it takes about 3 weeks to print a piece of Lego very badly.
Plus, do they win, Ewan? Do they win many races?
No, they're underpowered vastly, underfunded. Their budget's
but they're not doing the little ones, are they? They're not doing the little mini MakerBot things that we normally see at craft fairs and stuff.
No, no, these guys are making the entire engine before they send it out for casting. And I've got to say, I mean, Betsy Webber was at the Bash the other week, Barry, and she was talking about the fact that at TechSmith they've got a 3D printer. They've built another printer from parts that they've built in the 3D printer. They've
self-evolving machines.
Yeah, yeah. When does it become self-aware kind of thing? I mean, Ayaz, have you looked at any 3D outputs? Are you dissatisfied with them all?
I've gotten to play with a couple of 3D printed, I don't want to call them toys, but I guess demo devices, and they have these really great gears that are integrated really nice, and it works very well. I haven't seen any super amazing applications of it yet, but I know they've got one at the Hack 5 studio, and they've printed out like a shark, so I just want to see what else you can build out of the thing. It's just, it seems like if you're trying to build something amazing, you're going to have to wait a very long time or cast it out of
You say that, but today there was a video on YouTube of the first 3D printed gun firing a live round.
It's the rifle?
Yeah.
Did it? How many rounds did it go before it broke?
Oh, I don't know about that, but it certainly fired one.
I'd like to see that video. My assumption is that the caliber is no bigger than 22.
Yeah, probably. Steady on, but it's good enough.
Yeah, it'd still be interesting to see.
And this is why we can't give you nice things.
You just make guns out of them.
Yeah. We ruin everything for
everything. We ruined color scanners when we kept, you know, all the counterfeit money, and then we had a printer print out the counterfeit money, and then like I think
well, Scott in the chat room says, can a 3D printer produce a £2 coin? Bookery says, can you back up your bitcoins to a 3D printer?
What we could, if we can find someone a 3D printer though, Ewan, we can get the BTN action figure set.
No, run out of plastic when we did yours.
Ciao.
Actually, we ought to do an action figure set just as a mock-up, just as a joke. That would be hilarious.
I do have a 3D mold of my head that a PC Pro team did for me last year.
Oh, there's got to be a piece of scanning software.
Yeah, they sent it off. It was just a straight picture of me, and it came back with a 3D model. My nose was a little bit big, which I was disappointed about, but other than that, it is excellent.
Yeah, because it's not really you, is it?
No, it's not really me.
Yeah, not really you.
It's called Mini-Me in the office. They put it there when I'm away. Just to spark them and inspire them to work.
Samsung have put on sale a 55-inch curved OLED TV set in the US. Goes on sale this week, $15,000. I think it's only 1080p. And now, as you were covering one today on TNT that was under $1,000, and it's 4K.
It was a 50-inch 4K. It's from TCL and from China, but it's apparently at 50 inches you might not be able to even enjoy 4K because of the viewing distance. So if you're going to pick one over the other, I wouldn't do either right now. But a 55-inch OLED TV, $15,000. I don't know who the hell's buying it, because it's a pretty down.
Well, it's curved as well.
I mean, let's face it. You can sit closer to it as a result, right?
Is that what it's for?
I don't know.
Immersive experience?
Immersive experience, absolutely. Just think of playing your racing games on that.
Imagine watching EastEnders on that. Scary.
Oh, no.
That tells you can actually go get, like, a car. Like, you don't need a racing game.
Yeah, just, well, 15,000, go get a car and buy some time on the track.
As long as you use grippers as a steering wheel.
Well, of course.
Driving Australian style.
Sax wants a 4K monitor on his desktop, which I really don't think you're going to get the benefit there, dude.
It's curved TVs for people who have curved spaces. Think of the Oval Office. That's what I've been thinking.
God, that's brilliant. This was designed for the President of the United States.
Yep. Well done, Bells.
That's one sale.
That's probably about the right radius. Sorry. And last, but by no means least, the New Zealand government have been caught spying on their own citizens 88 times illegally. So their response... they're going to change the law so they can spy on everyone whenever they want anyway.
But aren't they all hobbits in New Zealand?
Bookery wants a 4K 13-inch laptop.
Well, you say you're spying on their citizens. Did you hear that just recently in Royston, they've had to remove the automatic number plate recognition cameras from every road into the town because because actually it's illegal to, if, data protection means you can't just log all the cars that come into the town and log them all back out again so you can find out who's done the burglaries.
Plus, there's only one road in Royden.
Royston, yeah, absolutely. A505.
It'd be cheaper to buy three security cameras for the five houses in there.
Or a bloke with a clipboard.
Now, is this anything like Royston Vasey?
Oh, if only.
Only local people, you see. That's the whole rules.
That's local, right. It's local, a local shop AMP for local Arthur. People.
Local people. We'll have no trouble here, they say. That's the town's motto. Welcome to Royston. We'll have no trouble here.
Yeah, I'm picturing this real life town as if it is Royston Vasey.
Yeah, you're pretty much there, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
North Hertfordshire, Hertfordshire-Cambridgeshire border. It's yes.
Isn't the one next to it? It's always some Baldock and Royston, isn't it?
Baldock and Royston. That's right.
They always add them together to make it sound bigger.
Either side of the A1, but it's just the fact that these guys thought it was a good idea to put them up, and what's really good about it is people have picked them up on it, and they've taken it to the courts, and they've had to pull them down. So it seems to work. People are being able to call people out on these infringements.
Good,
which is good, and long may that continue.
I saw a great quote today from Man for All Seasons, where I would break every rule to chase the devil, and then the quote is, "When the devil turned on you, what rules would you seek to protect you?" Really good. It's exactly what governments are doing at the moment. The real week in tech, not the BS stories. In the UK, I'm sorry, Americans, you're going to have to put up with this, but David Cameron has become the champion of all champions and has declared war on porn in the UK. There will be an automatic filtering system applied by ISPs unless you ask for it to be removed. There's a whole load about how it works and having to make positive decisions and stuff. But I thought we'd start with you, Barry, because I know porn's a subject close to your heart.
My mum and dad are very proud that I've become the UK's foremost internet expert on online porn.
So talk us through it, mate. What's the situation as it stands?
Well, the situation is that somehow, by hook or crook, he's managed to convince the top four ISPs in the UK to turn on filtering by default. So this means that TalkTalk, Sky, Virgin, BT are going to be basically switching on the filters unless you ask them to do otherwise. And from what I've seen of these filters, that's a very worrying development, because the only one we've seen so far with network level protection is TalkTalk, and their filter failed in the most miserable ways in the fact that you could go to Google Images, for example, and search for pornographic terms. The images would pop up over the warning page saying, "We're blocking this website, but here's the image." It's still popping up over the warning page. It failed in the most incredibly basic ways. And here's the Prime Minister on national television telling everybody that this will protect their homes.
I mean, there are words teenagers are coming up with that porn filters haven't even heard of yet.
Such as?
I don't, you have to ask my son.
Oh, okay.
Well, I was going to say, because, I mean, a porn filter wouldn't stop a Google image search anyway if safe filtering was turned off on the browser.
Some do, some don't. It's a real mixed bag. I mean, we were looking last week. I was doing some
research. Yeah, I know, mate. I know.
I mean, it's frightening enough that when you do a porn search on Google and if you're signed in, they know you've done it.
Absolutely.
What worries me is this: they want to ban certain areas of the internet, and they're using the old phrase like "we got to protect the children," and they also cite like child porn, which is, like, terrible. None of us want its child porn on. But it's the fact that they use this, so it's very difficult to defend yourself against it, because it looks like you're trying to defend the ability to go and hunt out this terrible content. And that's what bugs me about the way they've done this.
This is the parallel to this is the serial protection systems that were put on. You don't remember when Sony put it on their CDs, so you couldn't copy it, and it made the CDs almost impossible to play. And inconveniencing normal people. And the people who wanted to copy them would find a way to do it anyway.
Are you not telling me that child, like, people would peddle in this, like, disgusting stuff, actually use Google to find anything? I can't believe that in a million years.
The thing is, none of us would risk finding out.
No.
the whole point, isn't it?
The people that do this sort of stuff, I've got to imagine, use things like, the Tor network and like other dark net things like that.
But I think there's a deeper agenda here, I think, with what Claire Perry, and I know we're all very fond of her, is trying to achieve. And that's not necessarily the child porn. It is the exposure of young people to adult material that they don't believe to be suitable with them. And the Daily Mail stands right beside them as they put pictures of 16-year-olds in bikinis on pages, you know, and say, look, hasn't she grown up? Oh, for God's sake. So
that's exactly the point. And I don't want to put words in Baz's mouth. He's not defending the none of us are defending the ability to get porn. It's the censorship of the internet at one level. And it's also the effectiveness of the message that you're sending, that you're championing the censorship of the internet for the good of the children, when actually it isn't going to do that anyway.
And is this now a good time to go into the depths of how much these guys know about the internet?
Or not?
Well, that may take more than an hour.
Well, I think that was proved earlier this week, wasn't it, when she Claire Perry's website got hacked with some pornographic images, and Guido Fawkes' blog reported on it, and she thought that he'd hacked her blog just by simply reporting on it and linking to it. I mean, it is staggering that a woman who has had this brief for basically 2 years to be the government's sort of talking point on internet and child protection cannot recognise the difference between blogging and hacking. That is the level we're dealing with. And she's so far out of her depth that she should be thrown a life ring.
But
I think the problem that you've got is the conversation that you have. If you were sitting one-to-one with her, Baz, in a room, you know that the conversation would go, so you're defending child pornography, Mr. Collins. No, I'm saying that what you're doing will not stop people getting to it, or will not stop people being exposed to it who are underage. So you're defending child pornography, are you? No.
You will make it worse, because the what happens is that when you turn the TalkTalk filters on to their maximum safety level, it blocks YouTube, it blocks Facebook, it blocks Twitter, it blocks pretty much anything that you want to use on the internet. So the first thing a parent will do is switch them off. And we're back to square one. If these filters were optional, I'm all for the ISPs having to make these options available and for parents to have to go and spend 5 minutes learning about these things, but not to have them switched on by default and tell everybody that everything's going to be fine, because it absolutely is not.
And what I want to say is,
into a full sense of security, isn't it?
But it's not even sense of security, because why don't they do exactly the same with online gambling? Online gambling is an even more frightening thing, because people spend a huge amount of money they can often ill afford to be able to do these things.
Well, now hasn't the US banned online gambling?
The UK hasn't.
No, US.
But the UK hasn't banned it. Why are they doing porn instead of online gambling? Why are they doing porn instead of violence? I mean, the things you can see on Facebook and YouTube of people being pretty horrible to each other. That, I reckon, sets a worse example than anything that's... Or they have an agenda. The point is, they have an agenda, and they are trying to manipulate technology to work to this agenda, and doing it so incapably. I just wanted to come back to the point about Claire Perry and the tweets she was making to this Guido Fawkes guy that haven't been removed. And if I was in government, as a special advisor, I would have said, just get rid of the bloody things, because all you're going to do is make it worse from the people who actually know what they're talking about. There is so much ineptness going on. Ineptitude?
Ineptitude.
But I don't think they care what the tech community think, because we're not considered normal people. They just want to get the readers of the Daily Mail on their side, because, look, we've banned porn. We're good people. We're righteous and pure.
But the geeks shall inherit the earth.
And it's, yeah.
I want to know. How do you guys feel about the government putting pressure on the ISPs instead of the ISPs just simply saying, look, we could have free market style, where one company could be like, hey, we have the pure and simple internet with our own filters, and you can go buy us or you can go somewhere else. How do you guys feel about the fact that, like, why is the government over there pushing on the ISPs right now? Like, what happened that it's just something snapped?
Nothing.
Do this.
Nothing's happened that I'm aware of. It's just
something's definitely slapped in Claire Perry's head.
Yeah, but this
has been the big push on the child abuse images is because of the two murders last year, and in the court cases, it came out that the attackers had both accessed child abuse images online. Now, what's happened is they're conflating. I mean, last year they had the consultation. Claire Perry had a parliamentary inquiry into purely the youngsters accessing legal pornography. The government rejected it. She was pushing for these default filters. The government rejected it at the time, said it was unnecessary. Its own consultation that was published in December last year found that only 35% of the UK public were in favour of default filters. So they stopped. They said, no, that would be a step too far. All we're going to do is encourage the ISPs to introduce them. Then this year, there's been these two court cases in quick succession with April Jones and Tia Sharp, where it was revealed that the guys had accessed child abuse images online, and suddenly the two issues got entirely conflated. So child abuse got confused, almost deliberately, to be fair, by the government with legal access to legal pornography, and suddenly it became a cause celeb for the Daily Mail and the Sunday Times. And that's what's pushed this whole agenda along. The mainstream media has picked up on it, and they see this as a vote winner. It's pure and simple.
Yeah.
Plus all the Jimmy Savile stuff and things like that, I should imagine.
Perhaps.
Yeah, because there was porn around in the 70s.
Hmm.
How's online gambling gone in the States? Ayaz and Jeff, I'm thinking of here. I mean, what's because you've banned online gaming, but as I understand, it's done nothing.
You can still do it, and it just basically doesn't give the U.S. any revenue by making it illegal here. It just means you need a VPN or something else to do it. There's always a way around if you really want to do activities like that. So if anything, the U.S., as far as I'm concerned, has lost a ton of revenue because they simply won't allow this, even though there are parts of the states where you can gamble. You just need to go into a building. So what the heck is the difference if I'm attached by wire some other place? It's probably actually a lobby to make sure that people go into these places to gamble. And maybe one day they'll actually own some of these other gambling sites. Although there is that Bitcoin site that got bought, that online gambling site, that may have been bought by an established gaming company, because that, I think, can get around U.S. laws, but they haven't bothered to market to the U.S.
The irony is when you go to Las Vegas that you can spend 24 hours gambling in the city. If you go to your hotel room, it's illegal.
But it covers an interesting point, actually, because even just this week in the UK, it has something to do with the lobbyists. This whole thing about the cigarette packets, somebody banned them from having the plate. They don't want to ban anything but the plain pack wrappers because the government is being lobbied by big industry to do these things. Somebody has the ear of the government and they're just making all these decisions almost without any recourse to the public at all, really. I can't see it working. That's the whole point of this is in a year's time, they'll have done it. Everybody will have forgotten about it. Exactly. And everyone will be behaving exactly the way they did before, just exactly. Working around it.
Yeah, that's exactly how it's going to play out. It's a massive headline grabber. It'll get people on board that want to believe in that sort of thing. And then it'll just fade away because it'll be totally ineffectual. And all it takes is one kid at school to work out how to get around the filters and everybody knows.
And then absolutely. Knows. Now, what happens if you decide that you need to do a search so that you can figure out how to check your breasts for tumors, and you do a search and you get images showing here's how you touch and move and do all the stuff that you need to do to determine whether or not you have lumps in your breast, yeah. Are those going to be blocked as well?
Depends what the tagging says, doesn't it?
Or even lumps in your man bits. I mean, that's
incredibly
important.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, what if you need to check yourself, learn how to check yourself for testicular cancer?
Yeah. Wait, what do you mean? What do you mean, if? You have to learn how to do that because it stops yourself from dying.
Yes. Poor choice of words on my part. You need to know.
That is a really good point, though, because where does pornography – what is deemed pornography?
This is the human
anatomy. I mean, Facebook has a really heavy hand down on what they believe to be inappropriate images, and I think that's completely wrong. Breastfeeding isn't allowed.
I'll stand corrected by Barry on this because he'll know more than me, but I wanted to go to Boing Boing for something on my iPhone two years ago, and Three Network had blocked my access, saying it was adult content. And I rang them up to get the filter taken off, and she said, oh, it may take up to 24 hours. Well, I don't want to go into 24 hours. It's Boing Boing, for Christ's sake. It's not exactly, bigjugs.com. And the girl wanted to know why I wanted the filter taken off and a password on the account and stuff.
That's none of her goddamn business.
Well, it was, because they put the filter on. Three automatically filtered adult content 2 years ago. But it was blocking access to Boing Boing.
They have to. The mobile companies are forced to by law because they have to.
Not by law, but they
agreed to offer protection because kids had pirated game over our phones. And this is how it's ended up at the ISPs. But I think the issue is here that there is no legislation. And what happens is each company or each network filtering company that the ISPs employ decides for itself. And we've tried in the past to find out how these companies decide what's legitimate and what's not. Often the decisions are made by a room full of teenagers in America somewhere, because these are largely American companies. They're making judgment calls on largely sites that are reported to them by other people, or they get from whitelist and blacklist that are provided from other companies. And so this is the problem, but the government won't say what it wants banned. It just wants pornography banned. It thinks it's that simple. Last year, we challenged Claire Perry. We said to over Twitter, we'll send you 10 websites. Tell us which of these you want banned, which of these you don't. And she refused. She refused to engage. She called us silly boys. But this is the core of the matter.
That says it all, though, doesn't it? Calling you silly boys. I mean, you're tech journalists, for God's sake.
And also, if she can't define what is and isn't porn, how on earth is the tech industry actually supposed to define that in such a way that they can actually block certain sites and not other sites?
And this is why it's a no-win situation for the ISPs, because what's going to happen here is either they'll end up over-blocking and that'll be front-page news because probably one of their own sites will get blocked, hopefully the Daily Mail's, what will inevitably happen is the newspapers will find a way through these filters in 6 months' time and run a story saying BT or Virgin or Sky is still giving people access to porn. Mm. They cannot win in this situation.
To be fair to the ISP, though, I mean, from what I've read on the what's going to affect me as far as Virgin's concerned, there's going to be a browser come up say, do you want to unblock adult content? And you just click yes, and you have to click yes or no. It won't go by default. And once you click yes, that's it. That's the last you'll ever hear of it. You'll still have free and open access. And as an existing customer with Virgin, they are not going to block me. But if new customers come on, they'll by default be blocked until they say that they don't want to be blocked.
No, everyone will have to make a choice. I think by the end of 2014, you will be asked to make a choice, and the default will be ticked yes. So if you do nothing, it will block your connection. That's what they agreed.
The thing is, wasn't we told the last few weeks that the intelligent agencies are gathering all this information about us anyway? So they know who to go after.
Well, the other point there is, if you block the open streams, the public streams, do you then run the risk of people going below ground, as it were, and going under the radar of services?
Always.
Well, whenever they already are. I mean, it's an absolute nonsense that people are searching for child abuse images on Google. By and large, it's this stuff. The IWF has been all over it for years. And the attacks this week from Cameron saying, you know, Google and the ISPs need to do more, it's just hypocrisy beyond belief. Because since 1996, the ISPs and the other internet companies have funded the IWF. And according to the IWF's own About Us page, less than 1% of the child abuse images originate from the UK. That it's been virtually eradicated from UK networks, because as soon as they get a report of stuff, the blacklists go up, and within 24 hours, all of the ISPs have blocked the sites. It's an absolute nonsense to say they haven't done anything about it or aren't going far enough. And just remember that last year the government cut funding to CIOP, which is the police organisation that investigates child abuse images, by 10%. So they themselves are cutting funding, at the same time expecting the ISPs to stump up more money. What they said this week is Cameron said, well, what you're doing is not good enough. Put your best brains at it. You can create stuff like Google Earth. Come and, you know, you should be able to sort this problem out of blocking all child abuse images. It was basically like going to the NHS and saying, you've got a year to solve cancer, and if you don't, we're going to make it illegal. It was just ridiculous.
No, it's not that. You've got a year to stop domestic violence.
Do you think this is
go
a way...
Go to the NHS and say, stop people coming into your hospital with bumps and bruises for something that happened at home.
Do you think this is a way for them to use, like, pornography to open the door and then start putting things in, like, copyright material blocks and things like that? once the stuff's in place.
Well, they the end already of the do week, that. You mean?
That's already done. I mean, the court systems can already for the courts they're blocking peer-to-peer sites, but that's a legal process. I don't actually mind that because a judge has to make a decision on whether that site should be blocked or not. What is happening now is 10 teenagers in a room in San Francisco are going to make a decision on what you can see and what you can't. That's more worrying.
Google accounts for apparently 25% of North American web traffic. This is an average percentage of end device sending traffic to Google servers in North America through consumer networks during summer 2013. Google is 25% of all net traffic.
All porn searches.
Yeah, we laugh, but it's probably true.
Well, this is that surprises me because I mean, what I understood mobile devices to be used for is accelerated browsing, but Google Android phones don't use accelerated browsing. They don't use Google servers as necessarily as proxies to deliver, you know, compressed content or anything. So what are they doing with Google? It's not just searches, surely.
Well, apparently this includes YouTube as well, as Tom Merritt pointed out earlier on TNT, but. 25% of North American web traffic. YouTube is included, like I said, though. So, and it was an access over a 24-hour period or something like that. But there's got to be a lot of stuff. I mean, the thing is as well, if I want to look at websites now, even if I know the website address, so, for example, if I want to go to Google Docs, I type in Google space Docs rather than docs.google.com or whatever.
In the search,
that becomes a search.
Yeah,
and I think if you look at one of the top returns 2 years ago for Google was Facebook. I really get that because I would never type Facebook.com. I'd just type Facebook.
Well, wasn't the top search term in Google for a long time Google?
Yes,
yeah.
People were actually typing that into the search engines. Bizarre.
But if I want calendar or mail or anything like that or Gmail, I just type Gmail. I don't type the proper web address. So it stands to reason that Google is going to at least provide access to a significant amount of web traffic at the first initial phase.
Yeah, we've all got lazy, haven't we?
If my son is anything to go by, he literally watches YouTube videos for 4 hours a day or more. He will watch chain smokes YouTube videos. it's amazing how much they'll just chill out in the evening and rather than watching telly, they'll watch YouTube videos.
Yeah, well, you see, I'm interested what you think of that because we've got to the stage with Ellis where Ellis watched tons and tons of YouTube videos. He gets up in the morning and he sits and watches them, and we're kind of like, well, and there is a bit where we look at it as negative compared to him sitting watching a bit of TV.
Why is it negative?
Exactly. There's no logical reason that says that it should be negative. Maybe it's a lack of control on that. Maybe it's because we can't see what he's watching as opposed to where in the TV we can. I don't know. But we tend to react negatively to him watching YouTube videos over regular television.
You've got to wonder if Google is paying for 25% of the internet's bandwidth as well, because who's paying for all that traffic, the YouTube traffic especially? I know they do a lot for CDNs in this country, but I guarantee they don't pay 25% of the internet's bandwidth.
No.
I think what else eats up lots of bandwidth, I would think, is Google Maps, because it's built into pretty much...
Especially the satellite imagery and the like, yeah.
Right, so if you're using that, if you're just using Google Navigate on anything, their maps are hard to beat here, so I would think that could be a big driver as well when it comes to something that takes traffic up. And YouTube, of course, I mean, you could end up in a rabbit hole thanks to YouTube and all the music video you have.
Absolutely. You can
waste time
Sax has said go to YouTube and click on your watch history and you'd be surprised how many videos I've got. 4,225 videos I've watched, and I want to see what my son's is. Actually, I might just pop up and switch his computer on and find out what it says, because it's going to be in the tens of thousands.
Yeah,
well, if they buy Reddit, they can like stop activity around the world between YouTube and Reddit to be all set.
My son really loves Reddit, actually, and it's amazing how frighteningly well-informed. I say well-informed. I don't know whether Reddit is canonical in its in what it talks about. But if we talk about a news story, often he'll be able to put something constructive into it because of stuff he's read on Reddit. I don't think it's all that bad. And if Reddit gets banned by the porn filter, then there'll be trouble.
You know, there's a lot of stuff on Reddit that would pretty clearly fall under the
porn umbrella. So I can imagine if that's getting blocked, there really will be a lot of pissed off people in the UK.
And Tumblr.
Reddit is banned by TalkTalk.
Oh, is it?
Why?
On their parental control filters, it's banned.
Really? Yeah. Why?
But I think for the very reasons you've just explained, right. There's enough stuff on there to worry the average parent, I imagine.
We've done that story. Okay. I won't go
what
back
about
to it.
Is Tumblr banned by TalkTalk as well? Because that is an interesting one, because Tumblr's now bought by Yahoo, and I'm surprised they haven't gone out of their way to clean it up.
I read a report this week about Marissa Meyer having been in post for a year, and they wondered whether she was going to do something with the porn gifs on Tumblr, which I've got to admit I'd never heard of before. So I typed in Tumblr porn gifs. There is some quality stuff in there.
Well, enjoy it while you can, Ewan.
I've watched 863 videos as well. So
I'll tell you a funny story about that. That I was doing some filming last week for Channel 4 on this issue, and we found the one website I could find that would evade the filter we were testing was a Tumblr website. But I had to keep clearing my cache to get the filter to work. So I wrote down the name of this website on a post-it note. And while I was doing the filming, I stuck it in my back pocket and completely forgot about it. And then my girlfriend was doing the washing this week and pulled out this yummy porn for girls on Tumblr thing. And we had quite an interesting conversation.
And you're using this show to justify your actions.
The only thing I can say in my defense.
My alibi.
Yeah, alibi.
I have to confess that there's a pair of breasts on my YouTube history, so I'm going to have to clear that soon. If you get a chance, look up Amanda Palmer, Dear Daily Mail. It is fantastic.
Excellent. Now, the only thing I can say is I'm staying at Steve Neighbour's house this week, who's chair of the London User Group, and I discovered Tumblr porn gifs whilst on his network. So,
you know, that's
if he checks his router when he gets back, he's got a shock in store.
Yeah, do your porn searches and your, I'm doing air quotes, research on someone else's network.
Do it in the coffee shop near where Jeff lives.
Yeah, because then I can write about it. That'll be awesome. Let me know when you'll be there so I can take a photo.
Google announces Chromecast, $35. Getting yourself a big old dongle and stick it in and away you go.
Now, stop that.
Come on.
Sorry.
You and Zip Dongle. Iaz, you covered this on the TNT show. I mean, what is it that's going to set Chromecast apart, do you think?
What's going to set it apart? That price, I think it's just the price. $35. It's a dongle attached to your TV. It allows you to send your video from your phone, iOS, Android device, or just Chrome itself over to your television. There's always been this bizarre thing I've always watched in dramas and sci-fi movies. They go, send that to my screen. And I'm like, how? How do you do that? Because it's like impossible still, unless you have an actual full-fledged computer attached to your television. So this idea that you can just push this content really quickly, that you are interacting with the device on your, like in your hand, I think that's going to make this really stand out, because that's pretty much the way I use Apple TV. I don't go and search through YouTube's app and then do that. And the other thing is, unlike all these other set-top boxes, it's not relying on an app ecosystem for the little dongle. The real app ecosystem is in your phone. So if your phone can push the content, you don't care what this little box can do. Mm. You only care what your phone can do, and your phone is incredibly powerful. You don't need to have this big, here's my separate interface, because those interfaces for TV just suck.
Have you ever tried getting a YouTube video on a TiVo? Absolute horror.
Yeah, it's a real pain.
I think this is going to run into the same – although I really look forward to getting hold of one of these, I think it's going to run into the same trouble Apple TV has. And most people don't understand what these things can do. Most people just want to come in, turn the telly on, watch Coronation Street, EastEnders, whatever they want to watch, and just sit down and not think about it. Press one button, channel one, channel three, and that's it. They don't want to worry about interfaces and selecting programs and finding widgets on your phone and whatnot.
Which is what I was saying earlier on about the traction, whether this will actually get penetration into the market and whether it will get people to grab onto it and hold it, because the average person doesn't do what we do, which is to sit and plause through Netflix to try and find something to watch.
But I think go on, Jeff.
I see a big problem with the Chromecast, and that's one of its benefits, which is it's basically a go-between from your smartphone or your tablet. that's also a big problem, because if it's just a go-between between for your smartphone or tablet, people are going to go out and buy these things at $35 a pop and not understand why they can't use it. Mm. And I expect there's a lot of people that think a smartphone's too expensive. They're not going to spend $100 to $800, whatever, on a tablet. But $35 to be able to have the internet on their TV, well, by golly, we'll go do that. And they don't have any way to actually control the device.
Yeah, I mean, it's very flexible and it's multi-compatible, but it's not really plug and play, is it, in the truest sense?
No, and that's something that you get when you go and buy a Roku or an Apple TV, that those are plug-and-play devices. They really can stand alone. And Chromecast becomes an accessory for your mobile device.
I do think this is going to be very popular amongst our little crowd, though.
Really, oh, sure.
Especially if you can, if some clever soul hacks it and puts Plex on there or Xbox Media Server.
People with no friends.
You see, I'm wondering actually if it's only a smaller paradigm shift than we're thinking of, because so many people will have a tablet or a phone on their lap while they're watching television, and if the application to do stuff with their television is right there that they're using while, for example, they're playing along with Antiques Roadshow. You know, if people are capable of doing that, is it not that much smaller a step to be controlling the video to your television as well as the content that's aside from it? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. But what you've got to have that person. If you're not tech savvy, it's very hard to make that leap unless someone comes and actually physically shows you, oh, you can do this. Like, I know people that didn't even know their Apple TV could use AirPlay and stuff like that.
I mean, I would have to agree with you there, because Beth got on her laptop a remote control over the network that can remote control the TiVo. Does she use it? She will spend 20 minutes looking for the remote control rather than using the app on her computer.
If when you go to YouTube and you have a smartphone and you see this little extra button and it says send to your TV and you're like, how do I do this? And what's the device? Because I know I'd probably be carrying this thing around, and if I can I think you're right. The physical demonstrations of it, like if I bring it along because it's so portable, that would be the kind of thing of like, oh, I'll just install this in my mom's house. She won't even know it's there. All she needs to know is to hit this one button. And that will make a difference, because it's a one-button procedure. Because if you want to talk about DLNA or like having a computer hooked up to a television and trying to explain that, that's the keyboard.
Yeah, no.
It takes away a keyboard and mouse is the big one.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, Elias. It takes someone like you to go and set that up and do it for them. And then they're golden from that moment on. It's just that initial setup.
It'll happen.
Fort in the chat room says he spent 6 months waiting for the Dish Network app to work and he now has uninstalled it.
Ouch.
That's a long time.
But of course, these already sold out, aren't they, in the States? I think there's about a month waiting list already. And there's no mention that we're going to get it in the UK or any other country other than the US at the moment.
See, we in the UK will make a Raspberry Pi that does it.
Well, yes, you can. Yeah, that's true.
There's an idea, James.
Thank you. Thank you, Project Boy.
And although it's $35 in the States, so by the time it gets here, I reckon about 70 quid.
Yeah,
it's about right.
I've just clicked the order here, and it says Chromecast is not available in your country.
There you go.
And then he said Comcast is not available, which is a godsend.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, see, so you have that going for you.
Yes. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. They're absolutely fabulously spangly. They pick up all our bandwidth. We can't do without them, simple as that. If you need any internet services, they are just superb. Domain names, they've got some offers on 30% off at the moment. It's a summer sale for any domains and any stuff that you need to set up your own hosting. Plain and simple. 30% straight off the top. Use their offer code there. It comes through the British Tech Network. We get kudos for sending you, even if you use their special summer offer code. We've got some other offers if you want something that's a little bit more high-end, you know, co-location services, dedicated service, that kind of thing. You'll get great discounts with our offer codes as well, which are on our sponsors page. Please support them because they support us. We'd be lost without them. Thank you very much, UK2.
They do VPN as well.
You can get a VPN from them, which is highly effective and will get around any problems that you've got with getting certain content on the net.
For your important research.
Certain content. Right. Have we got any cool things? James, start us off, mate.
Well, a couple of cool things. Since we're not on video this week, three. Since we're not on video this week, I'm going to change the one I had that I was going to have. This one is a colour changing floodlight. My daughter's room is a small bedroom, and it's got a bunk bed, and there's an area of the room which is really dark, and that's where all the stuff that she can't be bothered to tidy up goes. And so I've decided to put a light just in that area of the room, and for £22 you can buy a colour changing floodlight. So not only can she light it, she can change the colour and change the mood of the room. £22 on Amazon. The link is in the show notes, and I'll put it in the chat room. Because I love LED lights. It's great.
You are an LED light freak, aren't you?
I absolutely am. And the other one, very quickly, is my Twitter account of the week is brilliant. It's at @WHS_carpet. And it is a special Twitter account dedicated to taking photographs of the conditions of carpets in WH Smith's around the country.
No.
What?
And it's very charming, it's wonderful in this way. The other one I'm going to do, hang on a second, Ladybird. Computers. Click Tiny. There we go. If you go to tiny.cc/ladybirdcomputers, I'm going to send this to that Perry woman. It's an online copy of the Ladybird Book of Computers from 1979. Might teach her a thing or two. tiny.cc/ladybirdcomputers.
Okay, jolly good. Thank you very much, mate. Iaz, do you have a cool thing for us?
Yeah, I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to stick to Chromecast, and I'll tell you why I think it's a cool thing. Because even though I'm a nerd, and I can do pretty much everything this thing can do already with all my current setup, for some reason, that $35 price tag totally suckered me in. I don't need this toy. I don't need the Chromecast. I already have five different ways to do this. But for some reason, I must have this device. So to me, it is a cool thing.
It is. It is a super cool thing. And, you know, the only reason that Carl knows it's sold out is because, like me, he clicked the link. So
damn right.
Because he wanted it. I mean, I know Sax in the chat room said he wanted four straight off the bat. So
mine's going to shit in like 2 days.
So. Yeah. Anyway. Allegedly. Yeah, when you get it, mate, then you can tell me that it's okay.
If you work on Amazon, it turns out, if you did one day, you'd get it today. Chad got his at work today, and I was like, oh. No. And I was also like, I still don't need it.
But no, that's not fair.
Want it.
Beg your pardon?
But you want it. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, sorry. Right, got you. I heard something else. while we're on you then, Carl, what do you have for us?
Cool thing. I've had this pick in the past, but thanks to the comic show, I've rediscovered it. And that is the Marvel's Unlimited subscription service for 13,000 comics that you have access to. $70 a year or $9.99 a month, and I think it's well worth it. And I listen to the comic show every week, and they talk about various things. And some of the ones they talk about, fair enough, are not on Marvel Unlimited. But I can go and catch up with the X-Men and Hulk and Avengers and Spider-Man.
Well, we don't talk a lot about the Marvel or DC. I mean, you guys tend to go a lot more down the indie route, don't you, Jeff?
We do a lot of indie talk, but I think it was episode 4. We did a big thing about X-Men. Mm. So we do talk about the two big guys, but we talk about a lot of other stuff too.
Yeah, and it's just great to have access to all the comics, especially when you read it on the iPad, or even if you blow it up on the big screen and just flick through the pages.
We've got a lot of positive feedback over the comic show. Lots of people have written lots of very kind things. You guys do a great job on it. I listen to it myself out of desire rather than necessity, for sure. And you've got a real coup coming up in the next couple of weeks. We've got all the Judge Dredd guys on, haven't we?
Yeah. Yeah. And
dude, remember not to fawn.
Oh, it's all right. I'll be fine. I'm a little more worried about Paul and Andrew.
Andrew's not going to be. Andrew's going to have wood, mate.
It's a good thing that we're doing an audio show, not a video show, for that. So, yeah. And we have another potential really cool guest, or we have another really cool guest potentially lined up as well. But since we don't have that all hammered out, I'm not going to say who yet.
Okay, you'll have to tweet me, mate. You'll have to tweet me.
The trick is to press record.
Yeah, don't get to the end of that show and go,
oh, like that would ever work.
Everyone, press record now. Barry, do you have a cool thing for us?
Well, I do, and I don't. It's the Lytro camera, and I apologise if you've spoken about this before, because I know you're a very keen photographer, Ewan. But so the Lytro is basically...
It pays me mortgage, so I'm extremely keen about it.
The Lytro is basically a camera that you can use to focus after you've taken the image. So it uses some very clever optical technology to measure depth, as well as the sort of 2D image that hits the sensor. And it basically means that you can take your snap, go to a web, upload your photo to a website, and then click on the part of the picture that you'd like to be in focus. And it's really clever. It works really well. But the device they've put it into is like an oblong... grey oblong tube that it just looks, it's horrible to use. The sort of shutters on the top, the power buttons on the bottom, and when you press the shutter, you end up turning the device off half the time. The screen on it is like the closest I can get to it is my daughter's Fisher-Price camera that I bought about 3 years ago. It's like 120 by 120 pixels. It's impossible to try and take anything with it. It's just, I don't understand why they didn't put this technology into a device that looked like a camera. But, when they actually managed to get this into a DSLR or something, it could be brilliant, because for those moments where you just missed the perfect focus, or you've just got it out, and this thing may be able to rescue you in years to come. I think it's a wonderful technology. I just think the first iteration of it is absolutely hopeless.
Yeah. I mean, it needs to get into a proper camera body, and they need to figure out what they're going to do with it afterwards, because the problem is, of course, once you've shot those, the only thing you can view them on is your computer.
Yeah, and they're 1 megapixel images as well. They're virtually useless for anything other than Facebook.
So they had used what you're saying. They saw you coming, dude.
I've not paid £400 for it. It's sitting in the office, unused at the moment. But it's a really interesting technology. Just make it better.
Excellent. Good pick. Sarah, do you have a cool thing for us?
Yes, I do. One of the issues I've had in recent times, actually, especially since I've got my Nexus 10, because of the high res screen and the camera, is posting pictures that I've taken with the device to Twitter and various other places and stuff like that. And so I was thinking, one of the things, it don't really need to be that high res anyway. So I had a look around and found this great little app called Image Shrink Lite. I guess there's probably a paid version as well. Which allows you on the fly, once you've installed it, it hooks into the camera and stuff like that. It enables you to actually shrink the picture and does exactly what you need to be able to do. So it's small enough then that you can post it without any issues to social networks.
Excellent. Good pick.
Look at all those terms we've not heard for years, like QVGA and QQVGA. Brilliant. God, it's like going back to 1995 again.
It is. Jeff, did I do a pick from you?
I do have a pick for you. All right. So my pick today, if we had video, would be kind of ironic, because I actually have no sun today for the first time in quite a while. And I have a solar charger, portable solar charger for your tech gear. And it's called the Nomad 7, and it's from Goal Zero. And I've had the opportunity to test it over the past couple weeks, and it works surprisingly well. It's going to get a really hardcore test next week, because I'm doing a multi-day trip up over the continental, hiking trip up over the Continental Divide, and all the photos that I will be taking will be on my iPhone, so I need a way to keep my iPhone charged. And this is going to get slung over my pack to make that happen. So it folds up to about the size of an oversized paperback, like a trade paperback size. And it has a little mesh pocket on the outside that you can throw gear into. Plus, that's where it also has a USB port and a daisy chain connector, so that if you have more of these, you can plug them together and charge stuff even faster. And it's so far been surprisingly durable, and we'll see if I say the same next week after I manage to get out into the wild with this thing. So I'll report back and let you know exactly how well it works in the
and
wild.
Finances, but, financing permission, how many would you buy if you could connect a load together?
If I could connect a bunch of these together, I would buy one for everyone that's going on a hike with me. So everyone would have one, and then we could all gang them together. So, yeah, so I would buy several.
Cool. You could watch YouTube out in the wilds.
Yeah, as long as you could get a signal. Yeah,
sure. Oh, yeah.
And where I'm going to be, the likelihood of having a signal is pretty slim.
Very good.
So, and that reminds me, Ewan, I won't be here next Thursday because I'm going to be climbing up over the Continental Divide.
We expect a live report on your new device that gives you coverage where you shouldn't be having it.
Yes, of course. Absolutely.
We'll try. My cool thing is the Varavon S slide cam. I bought this last week. I was doing a job up in Wigan, and I need to get a better way of moving shots and things like that, because I'm doing more video than I ever used to. And I found this thing on the net. They're not cheap. They're about $500 even for the basic one. But you stick your DSLR on top of the carrier. They're absolutely incredibly made. I mean, they're so beautifully made. And you just basically glide your shot left and right along this very, very smooth track that's got runners in it. It's got adjustable feet, so you can put it on fairly rough terrain. And it's also got some, I bought two Manfrotto stands that I can screw up into the underside of it, and then the thing slides along the top at any height that I choose from that. Carl, you saw it, some images from it last night, didn't you, on the laptop?
No, you showed it to Alex. I was being assaulted.
I showed it to Alex. Alex is in the chat room, and he'll vouch for me on this. It is a fantastic piece of kit. Effectively, if you think about your depths right, and you get something that's near field, midfield, and far field, then when you actually track across in front of it, the image looks 3D. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's not cheap, and it's not particularly light. I mean, they come in at several kilos if you want to start carting around in the field, but it was worth every penny. The tracking shots that I did for some of the welding last week were just unbelievable. So if you're into your video, well worth doing. And they do an iPhone attachment as well for it, and they do a little trolley for putting your iPhone on that's like a skateboard.
Are you going to look to buy the motorized kit part too, or what? Okay.
There is a motorized version for it, but I've got to say, all I did was go and get myself a couple of those Livestrong bands and just put two of them together and just use those to pull it along. If you just use a rubber band, you get a nice smooth transition across when you pull it.
So come on, Ewan, how much is it?
How much was it?
Yeah.
With shipping, it cost me nearly 500 quid.
Nice. The effect, I just watched a video on the site though, it does look amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they've got this thing where you only need to support one end, and if you've got a mid support at the opposite end, you can actually send it out across open gaps and things like that with your camera pointing down. And it's very secure. I wouldn't be worried about my camera dropping off. I bought a three ball head to go on the top because I looked at the Varavon one that they've got here, and it doesn't do enough for me. So I got the like a Manfrotto three ball head, and that does far better. But it's very, very good. It's very, very good.
Now, Ewan, I want you to tell me whether this rumour is true or not, that the reason you're down in London is because the Royal Family's press office heard about all the work you've been doing in the sidings in Wigan and said, he's the man. He's the man for the royal baby.
That was exactly it. And I've done some tracking shots of the baby as we speak, yeah. No, I'm not. I did a video for someone that I took and showed them on Monday, and they went, well, yeah, but... And
need more slide.
I took it on Tuesday after spending about 8 hours re-editing it, and they went, perfect. So, well done. And I had a beer after
that. Well done,
Ewan. Yeah, no, it was good. It's good, good, good. And then I've got four videos to edit this weekend. I'm doing all right with video. Where can we get a hold of you then? Start us off, Sarah.
Oh, up first.
Well, it's just how you appear on my screen, because I remember to get everyone.
Okay. Yeah, you can get a hold of me on the Twitters and Google Plus at Sarah Jane UK, and also on various other shows on the network, including for my maiden performance on the media show last weekend.
I heard you were a bit unleashed, woman.
Which was a lot of fun.
You were manic by all accounts.
Well, it was a lot of fun. I did enjoy it, and hopefully I'll be back on it again soon. Did enjoy it.
Good on you.
That's going to be worth a listen.
Mr. Hart, where are you?
Well, I've actually tried to get more into the Google communities. I'm just typing random stuff in there. I'll tell you what, Google Plus is amazing for like people sharing really nice images and pictures and gifts that you wouldn't find on Tumblr. But yes, I'm on Google Plus and I'm on Twitter at Syzygy, S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y.
Excellent. Mr. Collins, where are you?
Well, the best place to find me is at pcpro.co.uk or on the WH Smith stand, if you can tear yourself away from the carpets. We're in there for the lovely PC Pro magazine.
Excellent, mate. Well, now we know we can get back for 8:30. We'll have to have on a bit more.
It's a bit of a stretch, but yes.
Not just save you for the porn rants. Iaz, where are you, sir?
You can find me on Twitter. I write rarely there, but it's at Iaz, I-Y-A-Z. And if you want to find videos I do, check out twit.tv. The show I'll promote today, Know How. Go to twit.tv/KH if you'd like to do fun tech projects. Because if I can do the projects, I guarantee you can do it.
Yeah. Good, man. We'll have to get you on more often as well.
Sure thing.
Do it. Jeff, where are you, sir?
I am usually hanging around at Mac Observer, so macobserver.com. And then on Twitter and app.net, I'm Jay Gamut, both places. And then for podcasts, you can find me here. And the comic show regularly. Go listen because it is a lot of fun. And Apple Context Machine, we have communicators. And then at Fresh Brew Tales, where I write about the ridiculous stuff that I see happening in coffee shops.
Excellent, mate. And Mr. Madden.
Hi, you can get me on Twitter at Claw0101 and on Google Communities and Google Plus, and we have fun on there. And various other shows on this very network.
Thanks ever so much for all the effort you've put in the last couple of weeks, mate. It's been absolutely superb. We'd have had no shows at all without Carl's work in the last 2 weeks. So.
Absolute star.
Super.
That's a pleasure.
And thanks to everyone for putting up with the kind of lack of cohesion that there's been through show times and me not booking guests and getting documents ready and stuff like that. I have honestly been sleeping in my van at times. I've been away that much. So
yeah, we're all back to normal next
week. Yeah. We're all back to normal next week-ish. But because it's Mr. Madden's birthday on Friday, we'll be doing all of the shows on Thursday, photo shows back as well, and we'll have a good old time. So thanks for sticking with us, everyone that has, but we will get back to it.
Before you go, Ewan, great news. It's now legal to insult the President of France.
Well, that's lucky along. Then, because I've been doing it illegally for this all this time. Damn. We'll be back again next week. Big show Thursday, 8 p.m. without Jeff Gamut. And then we'll have the Mac show tomorrow with Carl. And then Photo Show and Mac show return next Thursday as well at the normal times. Thanks ever so much for listening and sticking with us. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.